Chapter 18. Aeonis Hades. They called it being in the loop, but the official name was Closed Loop Temporal Field Containment. It was used only for criminals where there was little hope of rehabilitation or even contrition. It was run by the Chrono Guard and was frighteningly simple. They popped the convict in an 8-minute repetitive time loop for 5, 10, 20 years. The prisoner's body aged, but never needed sustenance. It was cruel and unnatural, yet cheap, and required no bars, guards, or food. We walked into the Swindon TJ Maxx, threaded our way through the busy morning bargain hunters, and found the manager, a well-dressed woman with an agreeable manner who had been in my class at school, but whose name I had forgotten. We always gave polite nods to each other, but nothing more than that. Friday showed her his ID. She smiled and led us to a keypad mounted on the wall. The manager punched in a long series of numbers, and then Friday punched an even longer series of numbers. There was a shift in the light to a greeny blue. The manager and all the customers stopped dead in their tracks as time ground to a halt, and a faint buzz replaced the happy murmur of shoppers. Friday looked at the manila folder he was carrying, and then around the store. The illumination was similar to the cool glow you get from underwater lights in a swimming pool, with reflections that danced on the ceiling. Within the bluey greenness of the store's interior, I could see spheres of warm light, and within these, there seemed to be some life. We walked past several of these spheres, and I noted that while most of the people inside were dark and indistinct, at least one was more vivid than the rest, and looking very much alive. The prisoner.
"She should be at checkout 6, said Friday, leading the way past a 10-foot-wide translucent yellow sphere that was centered on a chair outside the changing rooms.
"That's Reginald Danforth," murmured Friday. "He assassinated Mahatma Winston Smith al-Wazid during his historic speech to the citizens of the world state in 3419. Looped for 798 years in an 8-minute sliver of time where he's waiting for his girlfriend Trudy to try on a camisole."
"Does he know he's looped?"
"Of course." I looked at Danforth, who was staring at the floor and clenching and unclenching his fists in frustration.
"How long's he been in?"
34 years. "If he tells us who his co-conspirator was, we'll enlarge his loop from 8 minutes to 15.
"Do you loop people just in stores?"
"We used to use dentist waiting rooms, bus stops, and cinemas during Merchant Ivory films, as these tended to be natural occurrences of slow time. But there were too many prisoners, so we had to design our own. Temporal J, maximum security."
"Why? What did you think TJ Maxx was?"
"A place to buy designer label clothing at reasonable prices."
He laughed. "The very idea. Next you'll be telling me that IKEA just sells furniture you have to build yourself."
"Isn't it?"
"Of course not. Here she is." We had approached the checkout, where a sphere of warm light about 18 feet wide encompassed most of the till and a line of bored-looking shoppers. Right at the back of the queue was a familiar face, Aeonis Hades, younger sister of Archeron. She was a mnemonomorph, someone with the ability to control memories. I'd defeated her good and proper, twice in the real world and once in my head. She was slim, dark, and attractive, and dressed in the very latest fashion, but only from when she was looped 7 years ago. Mind you, because of the vague meanderings of the fashion industry, she'd been in and out of high style 27 times since then, and was currently in, although she'd never know it. To a looped individual, time remains the same. "You know she can control coincidences."
"Not anymore," replied Friday, with a grimness that I found disconcerting in one so young.
"Who are they?" I asked, pointing at the other women in the line for the checkout.
"They're not prisoners, just real shoppers doing real shopping at the time of her enloopment. Miss Hades is stuck in an 8-minute zone waiting to pay for goods, but she never does. If it's true what they say about her love of shopping, this punishment is particularly apt. Do I have anything to bargain with?
Friday looked at the file.
You can stretch her loop by 20 minutes.
How do I get to talk to her?
Just step inside the sphere of influence.
I took a deep breath and walked into the globe of yellow light. All of a sudden, normality returned with a jerk. I was back in what seemed like real life. It was raining outside, which was what must have been happening when she was looped.
Aornis, well used to the monotonous round of limited dialogue during her 8-minute existence, noticed me immediately.
"Well, well," she murmured sarcastically. "Is it Visitor's Day already?"
"Hello, Aornis," I said with a smile. "Remember me?"
"Very funny. What do you want next?"
I offered her a small vanity case with some cosmetics in it that I had picked off a shelf earlier. She didn't take it.
"Information," I said.
"Is there a deal in the offing?"
"I can give you another 10 minutes. It's not much, but it's something."
She looked at me, then all around her. She knew that people were outside the sphere looking in, but not how many and who. She had the power to wipe memories, but not read minds. If she could, she'd know how much I hated her. Mind you, she probably knew that already.
"Next, please," said the checkout girl, and Aornis put 2 dresses and a pair of shoes on the counter.
"How's the family, Thursday? Landon and Friday and the girls?"
"Information, Aornis." She took a deep breath as the loop jumped back to the beginning of her 8 minutes, and she was once more at the rear of the line. She clenched her fists so tightly her knuckles went white. She'd been doing this for 10 years without respite. The only thing worse than a loop was a loop in which one suffered a painful trauma, such as a broken leg. But even the most sadistic judges could never find it in themselves to order that. Aornis calmed herself, looked up at me, and said,
"Give me 20 minutes, and I'll tell you what you want to know."
"I want to know about Felix 8.
"That's not a name I've heard for a while," replied Aornis evenly. "What's your interest in that empty husk?"
"He was hanging around my house with a loaded gun yesterday," I told her, "and I can only assume he was wanting to do me harm."
Aornis looked mildly perturbed.
"You saw him?"
"With my own eyes."
"Then I don't understand."
"After Acheron's untimely end, Felix 8 seemed rather at a loss. He came around to the house and was making a nuisance of himself, very like an abandoned dog."
"So what happened?"
"Cocytus put him down."
"I'm assuming you don't mean in the sense of to humiliate."
"You think correct."
"And when was this?"
"In 1986.
"Did you witness the murder, or see the body?" I stared at her carefully, trying to determine if she was telling the truth.
"No, he just said he had. You could have asked him yourself, but you killed him, didn't you?"
"He was evil. He brought it upon himself."
"I wasn't being serious," replied Aornis. "It's what passes for humour in the Hades family."
"This doesn't really help me," I murmured.
"That's nothing to do with me," replied Aornis. "You wanted intel, and I gave it to you."
"If I find out you've lied," I said, getting ready to leave, "I'll be back to take away the 20 minutes I gave you."
"If you've seen Felix 8, how could you think otherwise?" pointed out Aornis with impeccable logic.
"Stranger things have happened."
I stepped out of the loop cell and was back in the bluey greenness of TJ Maxx among the time-frozen customers, with Friday at my side.
"Think she's telling the truth?" he asked.
"If she is, it makes no sense at all, which is a point in her favour. If she told me what I wanted to hear, I'd have been more suspicious."
"Did she say anything else to me she might have made me forget?"
Aornis, with her power of memory distortion and erasure, was wholly untrustworthy. She could tell you everything, only to make you forget it a few seconds later. At her trial, the judge and jury were merely actors. The real judge and jury watched it all on CCTV. To this day, the actors in the courtroom still have no idea why that frightfully pleasant girl was in the dock at all.
Friday ran over what he had witnessed her saying, and we managed to find an exchange that she'd erased from my recollection, that she was going to bust out of TJ Maxx with the help of someone on the outside. "Any idea who that might be?" I asked. "And why did she shield it from me?"
"No idea. And it's probably just her being manipulative. My guess is the recollection will be on time release. It'll pop into your head in a few hours."
I nodded. She'd done something similar to me before.
"But I wouldn't worry," added Friday. "Temporal enloopment has 100% past, present, future, escape-free record. She'd have to bend the standard history event line to get out."
I left Aornis to her never-ending wait at the checkout, and Friday powered down the visitor's interface. The manager popped back into life as time started up again. "Did you get all you need?" she asked pleasantly. "I hope so," I replied, and followed Friday from the store. "Thanks," I said, giving him a motherly hug and a kiss.
"Mum," he said in a serious tone.
"What?"
"There's something I need to suggest to you, and you're going to have to think really carefully before you reply."
"What is it?"
"It's Friday. The other Friday. We've got 2.5 days to the end of time. Does it seriously look like he's going to join the Chrono Guard?"
"It's possible."
"Mum, truthfully?"
"No."
"We're running out of options fast. My Director General, Older Self, is still absent at the end of time, so I had a word with Bendix, and he suggested we try replacement."
"What do you mean?"
"That your Friday is removed and I take his place."
"Define removed." Friday scratched his head.
"We've run several time stream models, and it looks good. I'm precisely the same age as him, and I'm what he would be like if he hadn't gone down the bone idol route. If replacement isn't a good word for you, why not think of it as just rectifying a small error in the standard history event line?"
"Let me get this straight," I said. "You want to murder my son and replace him with yourself. I only met you 10 minutes ago."
"I'm your son, Mum. Every memory, good or bad, is as much a part of me as it is of the Friday at home. You want me to prove it? Who else knows about the book world? One of your best friends is Melanie Bradshaw, who's a gorilla. It's true, she let me climb all over the furniture and swing from the light fixtures. I can speak Courier Bold and Lorem Ipsum, and even unpeel a banana with my feet. Want me to show you?"
"No," I said. "I accept that you're my son. But you can't kill the other Friday. He's done nothing wrong. I won't let you."
"Mum, which Friday would you rather have? The feckless lazy ass or me?"
"You don't understand what it's like to be a mother, Friday. The answer's no. I'll take the Friday I'm dealt."
"I thought you might say that,"
he said in a harsher manner.
"I'll report back to Scintilla. But if the Chrono Guard feels there's no alternative, we might decide to go ahead anyway, with or without your permission."
"I think we've spoken enough," I said, keeping my anger at bay. "Do one thing for me. Tell me how long you think I have until they might take that action."
He shrugged. 48 hours?
"Promise?"
"I promise," said Friday. "By the way, have you told Dad about all your jurisfiction work? You said you were going to."
"I will. Soon, I promise. Goodbye, darling." And I kissed him again and walked away, boiling with inner rage. Fighting with the Chrono Guard was like fighting City Hall. You couldn't win. Every way I looked at it, Friday's days were numbered. But paradoxically, they weren't. The Friday I had just spoken to was the one I was meant to have, and the one I'd met in the future. The one who made sure he escaped Landon's eradication, and the one who has whipped up the Timefoon in the Dark Ages to cover up St. Zivilkix's illegal time fraud. I rubbed my head. Time travel was like that, full of impossible paradoxes that defied explanation and made theoretical physicists' brains turn to something resembling guacamole. But at least I still had 2 days to figure out a way to save the lazy good-for-nothing loafer that was my son. Before then, though, I needed to find out just how Goliath had managed to send a probe into fiction.